Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, October 8th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my space traveler twin brother, John Abaya.
Long live and prosper and peace and all that good stuff. Is that what they say these days?
I think it is just long live and prosper.
It's just prosper. I think they should change it.
Yeah, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I'm pretty sure that's not what Yoda says.
Yeah, in,
Star Wars.
I don't think people want to live long because
in
Star Wars universe they live long. Actually, I think Yoda's a thousand.
Yeah,
but he would say prosper, live long, you. Or
I think you're right. Do your best Yoda right now.
Yeah, that's my best. You want to hear more? We talk about, no, I can't do it. Actually, it's hard to talk backwards actually when you're put on the spot. John, I am me. Or no, I don't know. Hello?
You don't? I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with the main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new series from CBS All Access, Star Trek Discovery. That's an interesting sentence, CBS All Access.
that's the actual title of the show, man.
Yeah. Anyway, before all that, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer came out this past weekend and is a sequel to one of, I think, 2014's huge film, Pacific Rim, from Guillermo del Toro. This week's trailer is Pacific Rim Uprising.
Well, he's pretty big.
By everything you've got!
That is a clip from Pacific Rim Uprising trailer, which was released this past weekend, in front of Blade Runner 2049. Anyway, from IMDb, this is a plot synopsis. Jake Pentecost, I forget that was his name. that's Idris Elba's name. Jake Pentecost, son of... Oh, wait, no. Jake Pentecost is John Boyega's name. Son of Stacker Pentecost. I forget. That's Idris Elba's original character, Jake, reunites with Marco Mori to lead a new generation of Jagger pilots, including rival Lambert and a 15-year-old hacker, Amara, against a new Kaijun threat. Am I pronouncing those words?
Kaiju.
Jagger? Jagger?
Jagger. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Jagger. Jagger. Yeah. Jagger? No, I think it is Jagger.
Anyway, this is directed by Stephen S. DeKnight. I'm not familiar with him at all. Starring John Boyega, Scott Eastwood, Kelly Spreeny, Jing Tan, Rico Kachuki, Charlie Day, and Bern Gorman. Those are a couple of those characters are familiar from the first film.
Mm-hmm.
John, are you a fan of the first film, Pacific Rim?
What are your thoughts about this one? Oh, yes, I am a fan. I think I interrupted you when you were talking. I am a fan of the original Pacific Rim. I really liked how it looked and the way the story. So I'm a fan, not a huge fan, but a fan of Neo Genesis and Evangelion. I think I'm saying that word right. I just like big robots fighting and, you know, defending Earth from a threat, you could say. And Pacific Rim is very similar to that type of story. And even down to like how the robots are almost kind of. This one, mostly the Pacific Rim Uprising, is closer to Neo Genesis. Especially in the trailer, there's like a orange robot. I don't know any of the names of these robots, if they have any. But he has very similar characteristics of like robots from Neo Genesis. I found very interesting. I was like, this is kind of cool. This robot even has the similar back. I don't know what you call that. A back where like in the robots in Neo Genesis, they have like these hooks or something. This robot too has it. I'm very interested in how the story will be told, because it feels very similar to a movie that came out last year, Independence Day. What is that one was called? Independence Day 2.
Resurgence. Independence Day Resurgence.
It feels very similar to that, but with robots, even down to like this is the son of the pilot of the one who died in the last film. Or, I mean, Will Smith's character didn't die. He died off screen. But it's very similar, and it's a ragtag group of people trying to stop it with their friends who are scientists trying to stop this invasion again. And it just feels very similar, but I like how this one's the approach is it's this new generation. I felt the same way too in Independence Day, but they really relied on the old generation, mostly in that movie. And this one seems more like, yeah, we'll pay attention to the new generation of people uprising against the new threat. And yeah, I'm very looking forward. I like that John Boyega is getting bigger from his alien kicking butt days of
Star Wars,
the Block.
Attack the block,
basically, yeah, the Attack the Block. to this now, I was like, oh wow, this is kind of cool. He doesn't stop killing aliens, I guess, or a threat or whatever. and yeah, I'm really surprised that Charlie Day is in it. I really want to know what he does in the movie.
I was told that Stephen S. DeKnight, when developing the film, he said he would not move forward unless Charlie Day's in the film.
Oh, really?
So they said Charlie Day's character plays a crucial part in the sequel. Yeah,
I wonder if you'll discover the same thing.
You know, I had to rewatch that. I really liked the first one, but I only watched that one time in the movie theater, so mm-hmm. I need to rewatch that.
I wonder if what's his name, the one who plays Hellboy, will be reprise his role, because he doesn't die in the first one. He actually escapes. I haven't heard anything about him in this movie at all. So
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. Yes, yes. Yeah.
But I mean, Guillermo del Toro is not directing, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's a producer, though, I think. I believe he's a producer.
I don't think he is. I'm looking at all the producers. And
he is. He's in there.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, John Boyega is a producer, too.
Wow, even... Yeah,
I think John Boyega was pushing for the sequel for a very while, too, with Del Toro.
Yeah, Gilmore.
Yes, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Gilmore.
Huh?
Gilmore.
I don't know. I'll say his last name.
I'm on the same boat as you. I'm looking forward. It is interesting that they're going to revise some of the characters, but at the same time... have newer characters. And I don't know about, like, I mean, I've seen Scott Eastwood and other stuff, but I'm not really honestly I don't know if he's like a really great actor who could pull this off. Mm-hmm. Probably because he relies on his father's I don't know, like, I always think of Clint Eastwood when I see him, so I don't know if he has enough acting chops to ever pull off like any film all the time.
Mm-hmm. I really hope his character isn't like the main focus. I hope it's telling the story of how John Boyega, you know, being a not foster child, but a what do you call it when you lose your parents again? I forget what it was.
Orphan.
An orphan, and then his, you know, his rise up of that. And it's weird. I don't know. In the first movie, did they ever mention that he had a kid or anything?
I'm not sure. That's why I need to rewatch that to see like where, because I always thought like the father and daughter relationship with Rinko Katsuki's character was mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. Yes, that's why I always found interesting too. And then it's odd now they kind of like. Revise that when you change something that's part of canon a little bit, with his character now having a son.
But that is Pacific Rim Uprising. I'm not entirely sure when that is out. I think that's sometime next year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
There was another trailer that was out, but I don't think we've watched it yet. It was the Justice League trailer, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us. I'm just mentioning that if you want to watch another trailer, is the new Justice League, and I think that's the final trailer before the film actually comes out.
And it's next month, right? Or
yes.
This month?
Next
month?
No, next month, November.
Next month, okay, yes.
Yeah, they're all in. Just letting you know.
I know they're playing poker. It's a boring film.
Yeah,
my money.
You know, like the poker painting with the dogs. It's basically that.
It is that. And my money is on Wonder Woman for winning it. She has the best poker face, I guess. But then Flash can cheat because he's so fast. He can just like look over a little quickly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I don't know if he's known as a cheater.
Oh, and then Superman could just use his X-ray vision.
Okay, never mind.
And I'm pretty sure Batman figure it out. Use some sort of device to figure out everyone else's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of team building, you played something about team building. What did you play this past week?
I played a beta closed game or closed beta game for the last couple weeks. It came out last month. It is rivaling a game that I really like watching that I rarely play because I don't have a computer powerful for it. But it's a free game for right now. Well, the part of the game that you have to buy is actually free, but I download the free part. And I'm talking about a new game called Fortnite Battle Royale. So the game is actually like an add-on to Fortnite. Fortnite, if you're not familiar with it, is a new game from Epic Games. It basically is a cross between like a survival Minecraft, crafting to survive type game when there's waves of enemies trying to attack you and you are with a team just trying to survive a night. So I didn't play that part of the game. So I'm not going to focus anything about Fortnite, that part of the game. I'm going to mostly focus on the add-on part that's very similar to a game we've been speaking about talked about numerous times on the podcast, Battlegrounds or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So they have a new addition to Fortnite called Battle Royale. And it is similar exactly to like the movie and to Battlegrounds where it is either 100 people are on the island and you have to survive and you have a team. I mostly play team based. I don't like playing single player. And it is closed beta and it's similar to Battlegrounds where you just pick up guns and try to hunt down the other teams and then try to kill them and basically in the game. The added twist to this versus Battlegrounds though is that you can pick up resources like wood, stone and metal and actually build stuff. And you can actually build a fort if you want to protect yourself from the enemies around you, and you can survive really well in the game. It takes the basic premise of Battlegrounds where a circle is enclosed on this island and you just have to roll with your team and find as much weapons and health packs to last you throughout the game. And you can manage to basically I managed to win twice with my team. Shout out to two of our old podcaster and co-hosts, Greg Dietz and our nephew John. They played with me and we won the game with them. It was like I think our like one or second game that we played together, and we actually beat one as number one. And it was very thrilling. It lasted probably like 20 minutes, I could say, around 20 minutes, and it was down to us three versus two teams. I think both the other teams had only one person, so it was harder for us to hunt them down in the little circle in the game. And yeah, it was really fun. I was really amazed about how fun I thought it will be. It's very different from Battlegrounds. The way you think is very different. The way you approach the game and your methods of winning is kind of different because you can break everything in this game. Like you can, the only thing you cannot break is the actual like ground. You can't like dig like Minecraft. You can't break any earth stuff or not earth stuff. Anything that looks like attached to the ground. But anything besides that, like the bushes, the trees, the houses, the cars, you can just break and then get resources. And I thought that was kind of cool. Most of the time, I'm just going out there in the beginning of the game and just get enough wood and metal and stuff to get to build for the later game. So you're thinking your strategy is a little bit different because you have to pay attention to resources and guns. And that's what I did. And most of the time, I won a second time because of that. I started building our base. The circle was getting smaller and I built a big base out of metal because I landed near an area where a whole bunch of cars and trucks were at. And I just, destroyed them and got the resources. But yeah, the game, like I said, is closed beta and it's free right now. I think the bad parts are that because I will go on teams numerous times, and I'll get a whole bunch of guns. And I was like, okay, cool. Does this team look like they were good enough? You know, like they understood, but we weren't really talking because there's no chat yet in the game. The only way you can chat I play on Xbox One. So we had to group up and make a party and chat basically. And that's what we did. So you have to know the person to actually chat. They haven't enabled that part yet. I haven't gone and played it the last couple of days, so I don't know if they actually enabled it yet. But like I said, numerous times, I would get in the team and got all these good weapons, and then we'll start playing, and then it seemed like the three other people that I was with were working together, and they just end up killing me and take all my weapons.
Whoa, okay.
Yes, and there is no report button yet or kick off the thing button yet, so that kind of sucked. And yeah, and then it made me kind of like furious at times because I don't like that part. I hope they fix that and make it better. And yeah, it's a fun game. I think you tried it out just a little bit, maybe like an hour or so, but yeah, what's your thoughts on it?
I found it to be fun, but a bit confusing at first because I didn't know how the mechanics work.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I had fun. I'm not sure how this is going to compare with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds later on, when that's released. But I think overall, from like streams I watch and people who I watch on YouTube, it's pretty much the same thing. Like, I don't see the difference as much. Probably like some of the weapon choices are different, but like overall, it has the same feelings of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
I think one thing I really like though about Fortnite Battle Royale is that the look of it. I like the cartoony look. I don't really care about the more realistic look. I love how the way it looks like a cell shaded cartoon look to it. I don't know if that's bad or good, but to me, I like more. I don't like being too realistic because personally, I play games to escape from the world. So I like it when it's more leaning to the fantasy look of like Battle Royale.
Yeah. Also, there's even aspects of Battle Royale that I liked. Or Fortnite
Battle Royale.
It's like, I remember there's a part where you jump on tires and you bounce on them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Like, I like those things where it's like very wacky. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they're going to play on top of that, like more of those wackiness to it.
Yes, yes. Same here.
Yeah. To differentiate themselves from PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
I don't even think you can build a tire yet. Because I can never build. That would be great if you build like this huge fortress and then all around you just put tires. So people try to go on your fortress, but they can't jump onto it. Like the tires are just in the way.
But yeah, that is Fortnite's Battle Royale. I keep wanting to say Battlegrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortnite's Battle Royale. Which is out on beta on only the Xbox One right now, right?
I don't know. I think it's on PS4 too.
Oh, and PS4. Yeah. Okay, cool. Maybe, and it is PC. A free add-on. Like, you don't need to own the game.
No.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Yes.
Moving on from that, people. Now it is. This is not a good segue.
I was playing with robots online with artificial intelligence.
Anyway, I've also watched something this past weekend, which came out this past weekend. The film I watched was Blade Runner 2049.
They know you're here. You do not know what pain is yet. You will learn. Bring it to me.
This breaks the world.
We have to go.
I'm coming with you.
That is a clip from the trailer of Blade Runner 2049 from IMD. Once again, this is a plot synopsis. A young Blade Runner's discovery of a long buried secret led him to track down former Blade Runner Rick Deckard, who's been missing for 30 years. This film was directed by Denis Villeneuve, who directed Arrival, Sicario, numerous other films I cannot... Prisoner, if you watch all those other films. It's starring Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford, Ana de Armas, Sylvia Hocus, Carla Drury, Lenny James, Dave Bautista, and Jared Leto. John, are you familiar with Blade Runner, the original?
I have watched the original, but I don't know which version I watched. It is not the one with the... voiceover
subtitle or? narrator. So you probably watched the director's cut. The one with the narrator is the original theater.
Okay, never mind. I remember it is the one, because I remember telling you you told me it's the bad one I watched. So it's the one with the narrator. Without. Wait, which one's the original one?
The original one's with the narrator.
Okay, yes, like, that is one the one I watched.
Rick Deckard is actually narrating.
Yes.
His little, yeah. And in the director's cut, there's no narrator.
Okay.
It's just the story itself.
Okay, yeah. So that's the one I watched, the one with the narrator. Yeah. My feelings of Blade Runner, personally, is kind of overhyped. The original one. I don't know, because that version I watched, I love the look of it. It is that aesthetic of cyberpunk, but I had no idea what was happening. I thought I was paying attention really clearly, but I don't know if the... I think I even discussed this. I don't know... If I discussed it on the podcast, but I remember telling you is like I don't get the hype about it, the Blade Runner, but I get the aesthetic. I love that aesthetic, but yeah.
I think if, when you watch the director's cut, it's actually vastly different.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I never watched the original theatrical film. Mm-hmm. Like the one that, because it was panned as being a bad film when it first came out.
Okay,
like no one didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Until like years later, when Ridley Scott made his own cut, that's when people started liking, because I think there's something about the studios that people didn't like it before, and they try to fix it and they try to add narration. It's not the vision that Ridley Scott wanted, mm-hmm. and then everything was compromised. And yeah, I feel bad. But you did watch the short films.
Yes, I love those. One with Dave Bautista and the anime. I like the Jared Leto one, but I don't know the context of it. Like that one, I felt like you need more context of what's happening. I feel like...
No, that is more like if you watch those and you watch this, it will make more
yes,
sense.
Yes, yes. Like the other ones I felt like, though, with Dave Bautista, what was his name?
Bautista.
And the anime one, I feel like they're little like shorts. Like you don't really need to watch anything, but you get and understand this world better.
Yeah. But anyway, with Blade Runner 2049, first and foremost, the film is very beautiful. Even though it's bleak and at times luminous settings, Roger Deakins, who's well known as being like one of the best cinematographers in Hollywood, he did like Skyfall, Sicario, 1984, which is an interesting film.
The original 1984?
What do you mean the original?
I mean, there's, I don't know if there one... has there any been...
No, there's only been that. What? There's been films that copy that.
Oh, yes.
He's done most of the Coen brothers' latest work, you know, like Hail Caesar and like everything from like the most latest. So his cinematography is superb. His use of light and shadows, he captured the 1982 film really well. There's a subtle nod to like Sicario, because he used certain shots that were like in Sicario, which is kind of cool. So if you watch Denis Villeneuve's last film or a couple films like Sicario, then you're like, oh, that's the same shot, but in this universe. As for the story and characters, the film delivers, especially interweaving like several of the characters from the 82 film. I won't spoil it who comes back. Well, one spoiled is it's in the trailer, so Harrison Ford characters.
He's back? You mean,
yeah.
Is he a replicant? No.
I won't say that. No. Okay. It plays on nostalgia a lot, but it also enhances the film going experience. So, like, it plays on that, you know, Ridley Scott's original film, the nostalgia, like the settings and everything, but they enhance it with newer settings and newer ways of presenting that universe. Mm-hmm. So, if you recently watched Ridley Scott's film, then you'll love like how the characters progress in here. Of course, it continues to play with the themes of humanity. Like, do replicants have a soul? Mm-hmm. What is a soul? And does our makers define us? Which is like the same themes from another Ridley Scott's property, Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
So with those profound questions, they could be cliched, but at the same time, it's important to ask in this set of stories because they involve in time. So a new set of stories might come up. It continues to follow that neo-noir structure, but it also redefines its tropes. So look forward to that. And I think the best thing about this is Ryan Gosling's character, Kay, and his relationship with Ana de Armas's character, Joy. It's one of the highlights of the film. Again, it touches upon themes we watched before, even most recently in other films, but also like cultivated this relationship with hope and dreariness. I think their relationship and their chemistry in the film is something you've never seen in other films. Mm-hmm. There are two memorable scenes and you're like, that would be stuck in your head for a while. Because I don't think any other film approaches that sort of themes that well. As for the rest, I don't really want to spoil everything. Like I said, it's just like the structure is like neo-noir. So there is, you know, Ryan Gosling is trying to solve this case and there's people who's trying to stop him. And along the way, you know, things happen, things are revealed. As for the film's aesthetic, everything from the set design, costume design, sound design, from everything, all the production design, and especially the score, which is from partly co-written by Hans Zimmerman, right? Is that his name? Hans Zimmer. Mm-hmm. I keep on forgetting how to say his name. I think it's Hans Zimmer, who, you know, composed, you know, all the Dark Knight scores and everything. He's well-known, guys.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, this universe is really well-defined, and I cannot wait if they tackle it again in short story form or comic book form, or I could see this universe being in a, like, you know, Netflix series, if they could want to tackle that. But yeah, everything about this, if you're a fan of the original one, I say go in. But even if you haven't watched the original, my girlfriend didn't watch the original one. I told her about it, like a very like brief, you know, story about the original one, mm-hmm. like what it's about. Then she kind of got like everything that I mentioned was also, you know, in the film, so she got everything. So yeah, it's out now, Blade Runner 2049. If I were you, I would watch the short films that are out on YouTube right now to get like the full experience. Mm-hmm. But either way, if you don't watch the original one and the short films, you still get like a really great film.
You know, so in the short film, on the ones that you can watch on YouTube, those scenes are not in the movie, right?
They do reference like Dave Bautista's and Jared Leto's scenes, but they don't reference it like they show a flashback. It just, they mention something. Mm-hmm.
I believe like the anime one plays a huge part in a weird way, right? Like it's a...
They mentioned the blackout.
Yeah, the blackout.
Yeah, yeah. And then having that context, you're like, oh yeah, this all happened. So that's why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a little bit of exposition here and there. So you don't need to watch the shorts, but it's great to see Dave Bautista tackle this type of character.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you always see him. He's well known for Guardians of the Galaxy's character. And I think this one gives him more credit to his, you know, dramatic roles, and he could be like The Rock, like he could be that star from, you know, professional wrestling to movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is, yeah, that is Blade Runner 2049. Moving on. So bouncing from another universe to a universe, a galaxy far, far away. I was going to say a universe far, far away. This week's main discussion is a series that is returning on our computer screens, not television sets. This week's main discussion is CBS's all-access television series, Star Trek Discovery.
Run!
We are creating a new way to fly.
Better hurry.
I'm getting very close to...
You chose to do the right thing. Even a great cost to yourself.
That is a clip from the trailer of Star Trek Discovery. Here's the plot synopsis from IMDb. Once again, 10 years before Kirk, Spock, and the Enterprise, the USS Discovery discovers new worlds and life forms as one Starfleet officer learns to understand all things alien. This is created by Brian Fuller and Alex Kurtzman, but I think Brian Fuller left because he pursued American Gods and other endeavors, I think.
He's
he's still credited as creator and producer. Is starring Shaniqua Martin Green, Doug Jones, Shahzad Latif, Anthony Rapp, Marilee Wiseman, and Michelle Yeoh. But yeah, so John, are you a fan of the Star Trek series? I think we talked about this before.
Yes.
And then if you are, which series are you a fan of? And what is your relationship with the series? Like, do you think it's a great series or a property or whatever you have anything insightful to say?
Like I mentioned before, I like Star Trek. I like sci-fi stuff. It's one of the things that brought me to sci-fi before Star Wars. Star Trek is like my gateway thing, I guess you could say, and it brought me to Doctor Who and then Star Wars and Spaceballs and whatnot. So I love like sci-fi stuff more now because of Star Trek. I didn't watch The Next Generation. I did later, but mostly I grew up with Voyager, so that's what I like mostly. I really like that crew of people with Seven and Nine, and I can't name them off my top of my head. I don't know all the characters by heart. I'm not like Star Wars. I'm not like a huge fan of Star Trek. I like the aesthetic and the message of Star Trek of, you know, trying to go to planet or meeting new species and races in this universe and trying to be friends with them and, you know, not war, like the other universe that has a war in the name, but try to basically unite, I guess, different cultures and aliens together. That's basically my relationship with the series. I can say that I like the J.J. Abrams look of Star Trek too. That one just made me like the world more because they changed it a little bit, and I felt like it needed to be changed to update it, because you can't just stay in the past look, basically. I mean, we went from the original Star Trek to Next Generation. Those look vastly different, and I think the J.J. Abrams pushed it more to a different look. And this one, Discovery, basically takes that aesthetic and puts it, I guess, in the Prime universe, the non-JJ-verse place. Like you said, this 10 years before Kirk and Spock, so it's interesting to see their uniforms and whatnot. And I mean, we have to go by, like, this is the way everyone looks, and the way the Starfleet uniforms look, the way the Klingons look now for our today. And I hope it inspires people to, like, watch the show more. The last So how many episodes did you watch, Ben?
I only watched 2 episodes.
And that's it. You stop at 2. Like, you didn't look, you didn't look like next episode on Star Trek thing, right?
Oh, no.
So I have to say the first 2 episodes are Star Trek. It felt like Star Trek in the JJ verse, basically. You are introduced with all these different characters, and you're seeing it in the point of eye of Soniqua. Am I saying her name right? Martin's Greek character?
Soniqua.
Yes. She's playing Michael Burnham, and she is a half Klingon, half human. Oh, not Klingon. Oh, sorry. Half Vulcan and half human person. That is in Starfleet, similar to what's his name in the original Star Trek? Oh, Kirk, not Kirk. Spock, basically character.
Yeah.
But she is more human than Spock. She has more emotion than Spock, and you can see it in the show more. And you just follow her. You can say discovery of these new species and her story, unfolds of her past and stuff. And it's very interesting. It's very similar to JJverse, where similar to Spock's story, like her struggles of being half human and half Vulcan and why she's like this, basically. Very rebellious type of character, but very smart too in the way they're, they introduce you to this cast of characters and the crew basically on the bridge, and you get to know them. One person had like a robot head or a TV head similar to like Daft Punk or Saga's character. I forgot in the comic books, the King, that character.
Yeah.
I don't know if that character's in the show more, but that was kind of awesome just seeing a robot head like that. I have never seen that in Star Trek, and I thought that was a cool looking character. I don't know if that character died in the series. I haven't seen it in episode 3. I haven't seen that character in episode 3, so I don't know what happened to that character. Spoiler, sorry. But yeah, I found the first 2 episodes interesting, and I can see why the outrage of these two. I speak like a little bit. I've seen people don't like the show because it is the aesthetic is too much of that JJverse, the very clean flare, lens flare type of look, but I like that thing, so I'm used to it. But I think people should give it a chance for the 3rd episode, because it's a very different show in the 3rd episode, and you actually get to be introduced to the actual cast that you're going to be following in Star Trek Discovery. And I felt like the first 2 episodes is the epilogue of the show, and then if you go past that, it's the actual show, the actual series, all these different characters, and the plot of the show seems more to this. It's minor spoiler, but this crew of scientists trying to discover something that is, we don't know what it's about, but there is something in the show in the 3rd episode that we're trying to understand. It's a very interesting way to portray Starfleet of not just people, you know, on the ship. Going out in space and just going to planet to planet, but this one's more of understanding these people. You're basically with the crew that are the scientists, and then you're just trying to understand this universe more. And we don't know what if there's a threat out there, but yeah, it's a very interesting plot in the 3rd episode. I like how it's like a kind of a weird 2-episode arc, and then you're introduced to a new arc right away, and that's kind of cool. Real quickly, I guess I really enjoy all the people on the show. Doug Jones, surprisingly, that guy, he looks, his makeup is really great. He plays a character named Saru, but because his body type, it just looks like a straight up alien, and he just put a mask or great makeup on his face. And he, if you're not familiar with him, he played Abraham in the Hellboy series. So if you know that character, he's very skinny and lengthy type of guy. And it's just seeing him in this show and his acting is really good. I really like it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to him. I feel like him and Shaniqua character are the 2 stars of the thing. They play that Spock and what do you call that? Spock and Kirk relationship seems like they're going to be that, or even not just in the new one, JJ verse, it's more of the Kirk and I forgot his name, but he plays the doctor in the new JJ verse.
Yeah, I don't know. Bones.
Yes. So it feels like that type more relationship. But yeah, I like it. I'm looking forward with it. I think it's worth, if you're a Star Trek fan, a new one, especially for the JJ verse, you might enjoy it more. And yeah, I think it's worth the $9 to watch this every month.
Yeah. I'm full disclosure, I'm not a Star Trek fan at all. I've watched several or to a dozen Star Trek episodes from the original to the Next Generation and Voyager, but mostly I'm a fan of J.J. Abrams films, the Kelvin timeline.
Yes, that's that one, yeah.
With that said, I found the series premiere of Discovery to be good. It captures both the essence of the older Star Trek series with J.J. Abrams films really well. I think Shiniko Green Martin, Martin Green's character, Michelle Bond, Burnham is apathetic.
Michael
Burnham. I want to, like, you know, you're not used to. That's a funny, interesting thing about giving her a man's name, mm-hmm. is that
they discussed that in the third episode. Like, why? Yeah, is it like Michael?
In all of Brian Fuller's main characters who are typically women, they always have male names.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. She is empathetic and captivating. I think having it in the point of view of someone who's not a captain, but just an officer in the Starfleet is really cool, mm-hmm. and fascinating. The dynamic of her and in the first episode with Michelle Yeoh's character is wonderful too. Like, I think everyone knows, like, I am I champion people of color, especially women, especially, you know, being the main characters is really great to see. It's jarring at first because you don't usually see that on television, especially in sci-fi television.
But so Star Trek always done that, though. You have to
remember. That's just, like, you know, belittled what they've done in the past. But usually, like, you know, it's always usually a white captain, whether it's male or female. And you don't really see, like, for a universe that's vastly... you know, everywhere, like, big, you don't see enough people of color. It's just kind of weird. You see aliens and whatnot, but even this, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's bad, but even in this series, it's majority of the crew is white. So I think they just have to, like, mix it up sometimes and just let it be. I understand, like, probably, you know, that's only a small gripe, but it's pretty great to see them being the lead characters. But other than that, like, my only real gripe about watching this is that they throw a lot of lore and story that you need to know in the past that I don't know anything about. Like, I don't know anything about the Klingons and, like, their motives. So that kind of, like, lost me in some of the ways. Like, I understand their, like, I guess, motives in this episode, but, like, their lore and, like, who are those 12 other colonies or
I didn't understand it too. I know Klingons is, like, a proud warring race. Like, they want to, you either challenge them to a death fight or fight to the death, or you're not, you know, you're not worthy of it.
But that is interesting overall. So I really dug it overall and continue to watch it. But yeah, that's it. I'm still going to continue to support it.
Do you think they have the way it's released will help it or benefit
it? No,
it
won't.
Or?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the structure of their release, 6 episodes here and 6 episodes there, that's not a good structure at all.
No.
Especially if they're going to end it with, like,
it's coming out weekly, so I don't know why they have to divide it 6-6 like that.
Yeah, and then, no, I mean, other shows done that, but they usually have it in their final season, like, mm-hmm. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. But I don't know why they have to do it this way for a show that's premiering. I don't know if it takes more time because it's a show that's primarily on the interwebs, mm-hmm. not on television. So
and the special effects is really great. It's one of the best special effects.
That's the thing.
I've
don't know if their budget will be... that's the reason why, because they want to see if... these six episodes will succeed, then they will continue on their budget. But mm-hmm. if it has to do with something with budgeting, I don't know if they could do it with like 12 episodes out the gate already.
You know one show that I watched recently that had really bad special effects?
Yeah.
Is Inhumans. Oh, okay. I won't discuss that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's our discussion of Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, if you have a CBS All Access, we highly recommend it. It's only $5 a month.
Is it? I thought it was 9 or 10.
No, 10 if you want without commercials.
Oh, no wonder I'm watching. I did pay the $5, but I'm watching it with commercials. Okay, never mind.
But that's it. Anyway, that is the episode. Thank you for listening. John, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can find me on Twitter at Abaya Arts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us at TFA Now on Twitter. Also on our website, thefreakingawesome.com. On Facebook is The Freaking Awesome. If you want to email us, contacts at thefreakingawesome.com. I know we were going to be talking about Joel Barber's Vine, but we... Zine. But I don't think we had time. We were extremely busy. We had like a wedding to attend and everything. So
I just want to let the listeners know. So this month is really busy for both of us. So
yeah,
just brace yourself. We might not release another one another 2 weeks. It's just really busy. The holidays, especially this month, it's just super busy for both of us.
Yeah. But we'll probably have one or two episodes that are like 15 minutes long. We'll try to see. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're going to definitely talk about like stuff that came out. Like, I think we want to talk about like stuff that's coming out, like Cuphead and such. So
And like Stranger Things too.
Yeah, Stranger Things and whatnot. So look forward to that. Anyway, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.